once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. Ah, I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, where at all times we are grateful for the breath of life that is in our bodies, because even the very breath in us is a gift from God. You know, this life is a gift. You know, I know there's a lot of you out there recently who have been loathing your lives. You have been loathing your existence. You know, some of the different ways that it comes out is in, you know, just wishing that you'd never been born, or wanting to leave this life now, wanting to be done with it all because you just can't take it anymore. All the evil that you see going on around you, and with the seemingly inability to do much about it. So you see it, and the wicked are just wicked blatantly and openly, and it seems like the righteous just perish, and the wicked seem to get stronger and go forward with their agendas more and more. And it vexes your heart to the point that you would rather not be here. You would rather not be alive. You know, just so you know, suicidal thoughts are not uncommon for the children of God, because this life and a lot of what this world is people don't want to be around. They don't want to be here, and it's painful. And you know, when people think about things like suicide, part of what they're just asking for is an escape. You know, that would be the definitive escape, if you would. You know, other milder forms include substance abuse, drugs, alcohol, you know, the illicit sexual activities, anything to give somebody relief from the pain. But when somebody thinks about ending it all, what they're thinking about is basically they can't do it anymore. And, you know, look, you're in good company if that's you out there. If you are feeling that way, if you just want to be done with it all, you're in good company. You know, part of the process of life, I'm just speak to you plainly here, part of the process of life and true life in Christ is actually dying to this life and to this world. You know, one thing that happens to a follower of Christ is they literally die a death to everything except they still breathe. You know, we get taken to that point, to that place, where it is no longer we that live, but He that lives in and through us. The life that we live is no longer us. You know, God has to take us to the end of ourselves. And we literally have to die to all of it in order to truly live. Now, you know, I want you to understand what I'm saying here, because what God does is He takes you to that point. He allows you to be exposed to the evil. He allows you to be exposed to the torment, the hardship, the horror of everything that this life is, everything that this world is. He allows that to take place and for that to happen, so that once you've seen it, once you've understood what it is and the terror of what it is, and you don't want anything to do with it, and then along those lines though too, you're still here, and now that you know what the reality is, and now that you know what the horror of this life and this world is, and you can't stand it, and you don't want to deal with it, and you don't want to be around, but you're still here. It's like being locked in a cell with a crazy man that just goes into violent fits. You're still there. You're still in that cell. And God allows you to be brought to that place. And ultimately, you get brought to an end of yourself. You know, you have to be brought to an end of yourself before you can live in Him and live the life He lives through you. You have to be brought to an end of yourself. Because as long as yourself is there, it corrupts it, it taints it, it makes it something that it should not be. Now, there's a difference between self and God empowering and quickening the gifts that He's put in you, because He's made you uniquely. But He wants that way that He's made you to be animated, directed, empowered, filled, overflowing through Him. That's what He looks for. And that part of that process, and part of how that happens, is dying to self, is dying to this world, is dying to everything that you hope for, everything that you ever dreamed of, everything that you ever wanted in this life or in this world. God's got to bring you to an end in order for you to receive it, in order for you to know it, in order for that to become real. And, you know, you won't find, you won't discover that any other way. Look, listen, everybody dies. Everybody dies in this life. Not a soul came into this world that stays in this world. So it's okay. You're going to die. I'm going to die. We're all going to die a natural death. But the secret is to die before you die. To die to this world while you still have breath in your body. Because if you do that, then you're free. But you're free while you're still here. And you're free to do that which God asked for you to do. You're free from the torments. You're free from the horror. You're free from all of it because it has nothing on you. You're free from having to have an agenda in this life. From having to accomplish or be or aspire or to do or to climb the ladder or the totem pole. You're free from all of that. When this life, when you stop and you die to this world and live in Christ, you're free. So you have to die in order to live. You know, I know it sounds paradoxical, if that is a word. It sounds like a paradox. How is it that in order to live, you have to die? Well, you know, that's just part of the process. You know, I know in most religious places, religious schools of thought, all these places, they have not talked to you guys about this. They have not talked to you about dying to self, dying to this world, and this process that God takes you through. All right, here's another one along these same lines. Jesus, Mark chapter 8, he talks about this. You know, he talks about, you know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? If, you know, if anyone would come after him, he should deny himself, take up his cross, follow him. You know, you've got, if you're on the way, if you take up your cross to follow him, you're on your way to die. And God brings you to an end of yourself. If you try to save your life in this world, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life for Christ and for the gospel, you're going to find it. That's what he said in Mark 8. So, essentially, in order to find life, you have to lose who it is that you thought you were. And the new life that you now have should be in him. Now, think about the paradox a little bit. What does the enemy say? What does the enemy of your soul say to you? He says, save your life. Protect your life. Protect your little nest egg. You know, just, you know, get in, find your way, work your way up the ladder, protect that little nest egg that you got, build yourself a little place of comfort and protection, and, you know, to hell with everybody else, you got yours, right? You know, it's about you. It's about me. Have it your way. You're worth it. I mean, I'm just thinking of taglines. All of those reinforcing this basic human selfishness that's also programmed into your fallen DNA. Now, the difference between that and you living an abundant life is night and day. See, selfishness is a bottomless pit. If you go down this pit of feeding yourself, feeding your flesh, feeding the carnal mindset, the carnal mind, the carnal person, that if you go down that road, you're going to be a very bitter, very lonely, very angry person. And along those lines too, you're going to be unfulfilled. And, you know, you ultimately, look, ultimately what you want a fulfilled life. That's what you want. You know, people think, they think if they can get wealth, that they can get fulfillment. So that's why so many people chase after wealth, is because by getting wealth, they think that they can be fulfilled. And it doesn't work like that. What you want is a fulfilled life. Now, whether you have or whether you don't have as much, that doesn't matter when you're fulfilled. You know, when you're fulfilled, you don't need, because you're full and you're satisfied. That's why when He is everything to you, that's all you need. And that's why He also takes care of your needs in that place. It's a beautiful, beautiful spot to be in, because you don't really worry. You don't really stress. You don't. And then, you know what's funny? Is it seems like when people are in that place of being fulfilled, it just seems like the rest of it just sort of flows. You before, when people were chasing after it and trying to get money and trying to get position and trying to get power and do all of those things for a carnal agenda and fighting and taking it out on each other, then when they finally, but when somebody gives up and they're walking with Him, they are able to, at that place, it just seems like all of a sudden things do start to work. Things do start to flow. And, you know, it's not something that you have to work and strive and fight and devour and bite each other over. It just sort of happens. You know, there is a place of just balance in walking through life, where you don't have to make things work. They just do, because He makes them work. But your priorities are different. You know, it's interesting. I was watching a show the other day, and one of the discussions in the show was, you know, they were spending some time with these, you know, very wealthy people, and you know, one of the discussions that they ended up having with them was, you know, like, actually, they've also in the show, they discussed how there's a statistical point for happiness as far as like how much money people make. And I'm sure that's different for different countries, depending on the cost of what things are. But there's a certain point, you know, in America it was a certain amount, that after that amount, it really didn't matter if you made that much more, because you really wouldn't be bothered with, you know, didn't really matter. You couldn't buy a whole lot more, or you could buy more stuff, but the more that you'd buy didn't really increase people's happiness. And if people made below that, they were worried and perplexed about how they would pay their bills and how they would cover certain expenses. So there's a statistical even point of just where they say, okay, you know, if you can make this much, you would probably be pretty content with life. But, you know, the thing that's interesting is when people crave money, when they crave wealth, they never have enough. You know, that's a poison in people's system. When money is what they want, when money is what they're after, it's a poison to their very being, because they, because for themselves, they even when they have a ton, they can't even share the smallest thing with somebody. And you know, there's no fulfillment in that. There's no joy in that. There's no peace in that. There's just a perpetual demonic obsession with more and more and more and more. Proverbs says that those that love money never have enough. It's true. It's absolutely true. Those that love money, they never have enough. And the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Lots and lots and lots of sorrow go with chasing after. Now, God still has His way with His people. That doesn't mean that His people are expected to live substandard lives. No. Not at all. In fact, promotion comes from the Lord. In fact, God gives the ability to create. And with creation comes all kinds of opportunities. But the thing is, for God's people, is that we ourselves, we're not stressed about those things, because we know our source, and we know He's able to take care of us. So, for us, it's not a matter of trying to put things together in this world and in this life. For us, it's a matter of following Him and letting the rest be what it is. Now, He does give you wisdom, He does give you knowledge, and He does give you experiences, and experience can be a hard teacher, but it is a teacher. And you learn by the things you go through. Hello. You learn. You learn because you go through some stuff. And when you go through some stuff, that stuff that you go through, it helps you. It gives you experience that you can share with others. And with that which you've experienced and that which you've gone through, you can breathe. And you can breathe easy after a while. Because you know what? You've experienced some things. You've also seen God's hand. Because He's taken you through and He's lifted you up. And He set your feet upon solid ground every time that you thought you were sinking. Every time you thought that you were going a little bit further, deeper, and about to be swallowed up. Look, for those of you that are out there that are depressed, just stop for a minute and look at all that God has brought you through. And you're still here today. You know, you are a walking miracle. Just the fact that you have breath in your lungs is a walking miracle. Don't cut that miracle short. Don't stop it before it fulfills the purpose that God intended. And if you're down and if you feel like you're almost out, look, just stop. Pray. Seek His face. Look, suicide is not the answer. Never was. It's a form of... It's a way that the enemy works on the minds of tender-hearted children of God, sensitive. Because they feel, and because they experience, and because they experience the pain, because their consciences haven't been seared, and so because they still have a conscience, and because they still feel, because of that pain, they want the exit door. You don't... Look, you're human, and you're a child of God. That's why you feel. That's why you feel the pain. But that's not the reason to exit. Look, first of all, about the exit. Don't worry, you will check out at some point. Scriptures have already said, appointed unto every Every man is a time to die, and after that, the judgment. So you don't got to worry about it. You're going to check out of this life at some point anyways. So, you know, you've got an appointed time. It's already there. So since it's already there, since the exit's already been set, don't try to cut it short. Don't look for the door early. You know, look, you can't change other people. The Spirit of God can work on their hearts, but you can't change them. The only one that can change, the only thing that you can change is your attitude towards others. You can change how you respond to the situations that you're in. That's an internal thing. That's a work of the Spirit of God. And you know, sometimes you may need to exit, but that doesn't mean you got to end your life. That means sometimes you just move. Switch jobs. Move houses. Close up shop in one place, open it somewhere else. It's okay. You know, Scripture's talked about if they did not receive your message in a city, shake off the dust from your feet and move on as a testimony against them. He didn't say go there and trudge it out. There's times too, sure, if he sends you with a specific assignment. But otherwise, why are you going to waste your time? This life is precious. Every breath you have is precious. You should maximize your existence. Don't minimize it. Maximize it. Look to Him, the author, the finisher of your faith. Look to Him. He knows. And He will carry you through. You know, you don't got to worry. I know sometimes people worry, but God already told you, look, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow, for sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. A lot of people are worrying all over the world about tomorrow. About this and about that. About all kinds of things that are going to take place. Look, yes, things are going to take place. Yes, the world is going to go through some trying times. But you know what? The world has gone through trying times before. And the world will have trying times more in the future. Yes, there's going to. And what good is it going to do for you to be worrying and perplexed about it? Serious, what good is that going to do? You don't need to worry about it. You can be aware about it. You can pray about it. You can seek God for what to do about it. But you don't got to worry about it. Listen, there's a lot of difficult situations in different places all over the world. And even in the midst of those, people survive. People carry on. People continue their lives. People are in need in those difficult situations. And if you're too wrapped up in your own pain, you're not going to be able to see clear enough to help somebody else that really needs it. Because you know what? If you got Christ, you got the answer. If you got Christ, you have what you need. If you've got Christ, you're already saved. You're already set free. This world can't hold you. And there's other people that need what you got. And you can share it. And you know what? When you start getting your eyes off your own pain and your own struggle, that's when you'll find that life flows. You know, a self-serving focus is a miserable existence. But a focus that's where your eyes are placed on Him, there's blessing in that. There's peace in that. And there's a fulfillment in that that you can't buy. You can't buy the fulfillment that God gives you. Look, He'll take care of your needs. You're going to have an amazing adventure of life. And when it's done, you get to go be with Him. All right? So relax. In this time right now that you're in, stop. Stop being selfish. Stop looking to yourself. Stop looking to your life. And ask, what could you do this day to be a blessing unto somebody else, to strengthen somebody else, to encourage somebody else. Try that. I guarantee if you go and you do something to help somebody else, you're going to feel better. You are. If you go do something to help somebody else, you're going to feel better. Guaranteed. Because you know, as children of God, we're wired like that. We're wired to have fulfillment in our own hearts when we bless others. God blesses you to make you a blessing. With Abraham, when God spoke to him, he said, "Through thee all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." God blessed Abraham to make him a blessing. And you are part of that seed of Abraham by faith. So God blesses you to make you a blessing. So get out there and be that blessing that you are. Go on with your blessed self. And keep on keeping on. We love you guys. Hey, God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. Or also, you can write us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word. You're going to find us. And say hi. You know, we always appreciate hearing from you guys. And look, don't worry about anything. He's in control, and he loves you. All right. Catch you soon. Bye.